Yes, please take out your copy of the scriptures as we read from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Hear the very words that Paul was inspired by God to write. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, as you have brought us here this morning to gather as the church, we are in awe of you. There is none like you. And Lord Jesus, as we gather to hear your word, that there's freedom in you and you alone, that nothing else will matter. Would you immerse us in this place and time today in your word, that we might grow with a growth that is from God? Father, would you be praised as we hear your word, the very words of eternal life. And it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In case you don't know me, my name is Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. It's a privilege to be with you today. I'm really stoked about giving this message as we continue on in our study of the book of Colossians. And again, today we're in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23, freedom in Christ, fruit of gospel hope. Something I want to let you know, though, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was realizing that the very truths that I'm preaching about, I have trouble living and owning. And I was thinking about that. Oh my goodness, now I have to get up in front of all these people and admit that. But it really is true, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of the realization that my dependence in Christ is far less than I thought it would be. And think about that. I even discussed that with our small group as we met this past week. We were talking about this thing about having freedom in Christ, and it just hit home even more, this thing about adding on to the finished work of Christ. I'm so prone to do that. And to top that off, I depend upon myself and others to try harder in finding favor with God. Think about this, though, church. What if the body of Christ celebrated its freedom through dependence upon Christ alone? Think about that. No add-ons needed. Because freedom in Christ means that the debt of sin has been canceled, and with it, its legal demands. that man-made rules and regulations are no longer binding. There's no need to try harder to find favor with God. Dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for freedom is all that matters. Nothing more and nothing less. And so the Apostle Paul was dealing with this sort of very thing with the church at Colossae. He wanted the church then and now to understand there really is reason to celebrate freedom in Christ. And so I have 3 points that I want us to be able to take away from this message today concerning having freedom in Christ. And so here they are, the 3 points with regard to ourselves and others. Freedom in Christ means there is absolutely, number one, no passing judgment. That's verses 16 and 17 in our text of Colossians 2. Secondly, with freedom in Christ, it means no disqualification, verses 18 and 19. And point number 3, there's no need to try harder. With freedom in Christ, there's no need to try harder. And that's verses 20 through 23. So let's take a look at the first point here. With freedom in Christ, there's no passing judgment. Defining passing judgment means this: to pronounce a sentence upon someone or to make a claim as if you're deciding for them what they should do. And in the context of these verses in Colossians chapter 2, specifically verses 16 and 17, Christians were judged on whether or not they were adhering to the Jewish traditions in addition to their salvation in Christ. And this was determined by what they ate and drank, as well as whether they attended Jewish festivals, made sacrifices during a new moon, or participated in keeping a Sabbath. So, for example, in Scripture, the Mosaic Law spells out to the Jews which animals could be eaten. Festivals, such as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, were all times to remember God's faithfulness. A New Moon Festival was considered a time where sacrifices were offered and the new month was consecrated to God. And the Jewish Sabbath, which is at the end of the week, commemorated God resting from His work of creation. And Jewish leaders taught all of these laws and ceremonies were binding on all who trusted Christ. However, God's Word stipulates the truth that there is freedom in Christ. The legal demands of the law are no longer binding. The debt of sin, which prevents anyone from keeping the law, was completely canceled by Jesus' death on the cross. That's the good news message of the cross, that Christ died for sinners like you and me. There is freedom in Christ. That's the good news message of the cross. And here's Colossians chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14 to hit home this point. Take a look. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. So the Apostle Paul emphasized that no one had the right to impose on Christians any of the Mosaic laws or ceremonies. Neither could anyone condemn those in Christ if they didn't keep those. Sacrifices, celebrations, and Sabbath rest were a shadow of things to come. Those things pointed to Jesus as the perfect sacrifice, the celebration of salvation, and the one in whom eternal rest is found. After all, think about it. Shadows aren't the real thing. They're just an outline. The Lord Jesus Christ is the real thing. He is the substance of gospel hope. And gospel hope is not about keeping rules and ceremonies. Those things won't draw us closer to God. In fact, there's two things here that I believe are dangerous that can actually happen. First of all, keeping rules and ceremonies can look really good on the outside, but on the inside, hearts are evil and far from God. Jesus warned the religious leaders, the Pharisees, about this. Here's Matthew chapter 23, verse 28. Jesus says, "So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Second point of this, passing judgment creates a stumbling block to brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's take a look here, Romans 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." And in the scriptures, it also means a brother or sister. Now, take, for example, the coronavirus, COVID-19. Whether intended or not, passing judgment on what others should do or shouldn't do with regard to COVID-19 can be a stumbling block. And this applies to the entire spectrum of viewpoints. It could be anything from using hand sanitizer to wearing masks or not wearing masks, or keeping social distance. Whether spoken or written, judgmental remarks can be perceived as inflammatory. It's like a spark setting the whole forest ablaze. Passing judgment has negative effects on people, including the church. It causes division, not unity. People stay at home. People get angry. People gossip and slander. All of this can be a stumbling block to brothers and sisters in Christ. So my question is for us, what stumbling blocks are you and me laying? Whether it be through verbal or written communication or by our actions, are we showing the love of Christ? And what's more important, individual freedoms or freedom in Christ? Jesus himself warned about trying to fix others before we fix ourselves. Take a look here at Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Passing judgment is not the fruit of gospel hope. It's the bad fruit of self-supremacy and self-righteousness. Freedom in Christ is suppressed. And when freedom in Christ is suppressed, there's a tendency to view others as disqualified because of what they do or don't do. And that's our second point. With freedom in Christ, there's no disqualification. So the emphasis here in verses 18 and 19 of our text today is that freedom in Christ means no disqualification for the believer. Consider the following statement. "Unless you abstain from cussing, smoking, drinking, dancing, and playing cards, you can't be a Christian." Believe it or not, that was the gospel when I was growing up in the quote-unquote Bible Belt of the South. Adhering to certain strict practices was supposed to bring one closer to God. Little did I know then that this is the term we're talking about that Paul writes about, asceticism. Asceticism is the practice of austere self-discipline in order to bring unity with God. It's similar to an athlete who is in training and they have a regimented diet, exercise, and rest. Why not apply those same principles to worshiping God? However, asceticism can actually be dangerous. Here's why. In reality, what we're doing is we're practicing disciplines that set us apart from others for religious reasons, faulty religious reasons. Because think about it, freedom in Christ isn't found in religiosity, because religion involves much time being invested in keeping rules and regulations. There's little investment in treasuring the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion gets in the way of the gospel. And the gospel is all about the body of Christ, the church, holding fast to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the body. And as we read in our text, Scripture states that the whole body of Christ is nourished and knit together through its various members, which are those people trusting in Christ. And think about this. Unless the head is attached to the body dies. In Christ, the body is alive, and it is nourished and grows in Him. And that growth comes from God, who qualifies all of the members of the body. Now, I've got a little quiz for you here. I want you to fill in the blank. Christ plus blank equals salvation. What do you think? I heard nothing. You're exactly right. The answer is nothing. That's what qualifies a believer, Christ alone, nothing else. God Himself, through the work of the Holy Spirit, qualifies every believer. And every believer can give thanks to God for that. God's qualification for trusting Him is totally based on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross for sinners like you and me. And to emphasize this, I want us to take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, listen to that, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What qualifications are you and me basing our acceptance with God on? You ever thought about that? Are we turning things like prayer and worship and serving and charitable giving into religious disciplines? They look good on the outside. Meanwhile, on the inside, though, there can be a cold, like a stone cold heart that is far from God. Ceremonies and rituals don't qualify us to be made right with God. Strictly adhering to rules and regulations won't save us. Trying harder to appease God doesn't make us righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope, our only freedom. In 2019, at the commencement ceremony at a college, Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, the commencement speaker informed the graduating class that he and his family would be putting up millions of dollars so that all the graduates would be debt-free. Their student loans would be paid in full. Can you imagine the freedom, the joy, hearing that this huge gift had been given, undeserved, and yet given anyway? And some of the debt was as much as $100,000 for some of the students. And that's just a thumbnail illustration of what we're talking about here today, this freedom in Christ. Because the enormity of God erasing the sin debt of people like you and me is staggering. It's huge. And it's an eternal gift, undeserved, and yet given anyway. That's God's grace. If you're in Christ, as you're listening to this message, or perhaps viewing on the live stream, or listening to the audio, if you're in Christ, your debt for sin is paid in full by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you were bound for hell and eternal damnation apart from Christ, now being found in him means trusting, savoring, and treasuring him forever. That's freedom in Christ. That's the fruit of gospel hope. In him, grace abounds and freedom resounds. If you had been one of the students at Morehouse College, would you have turned down that gift of having your student loans completely erased? Would you? Of course not. Of course not. Who would? It would be like turning down the cure for COVID-19. And if you haven't received Christ, I want to emphasize that you can be set free by God from your enormous debt of sin. And if you haven't received Christ, why would you turn away from him? Why would you turn away from a gift like that? To do so is saying no to the richest and most unfathomable gift of freedom a person could ever have, Christ himself. Do you have freedom in Christ? If not, today is the day of salvation. Repent and believe, Scripture says. Turn to Jesus. Experience a change of heart and mind that treasures him more than life. Receive God's gift of freedom in Christ through faith alone, by God's grace alone. And Scripture says, once set free from sin, the fruit you reap leads to holiness, and the outcome is eternal life. That's true freedom. And that's what it means that we don't have to try harder to find favor with God. And that's our last point here today, that with freedom in Christ, there's no need to try harder. And right out of the gate, the Apostle Paul in verses 20 through 23 was admonishing the church at Colossae. He warned them about false teaching, which encouraged submitting to man-made rules and regulations instead of being totally rooted and built up in Christ. In essence, Paul was saying this: beware of those who try to convince you to live like people of the world when you're people of God. Here's what he says, in fact. Check this out. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Why look to the world, which is controlled by man-made rules of do this, do that. In fact, turning back from freedom in Christ to the ways of the world is like leaving a vacation at the Grand Canyon to sit in a ditch and make mud pies. If Christ has set you free, you are free indeed. A Christian lives in the freedom of an identity found in Christ. But to some degree, we all struggle with trying harder in order to find favor with God. Consider the following example: being entangled in lust. And believe me, I hate to admit it as your preacher this morning, but I struggle with that, being entangled in lust. How about you? And so I go, well, I'll read my Bible more. I'll pray harder. I'll make sure I go to church. And I'll give generously to charity. That won't resolve the issue. Doing more and trying harder has the appearance of wisdom, but what appears to be of value is really of no value at all in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And therefore, it's a matter of the heart, not about trying harder. If I'm trying to find favor with God by making up for what I've done or haven't done, I'm wasting my time. And I want you to hear this, church. Favor with God is found only through Christ. It's because of His completeness, His perfection, His purity. If you're in Christ, those are yours because you've been set free in Him. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your freedom. And my heart, which can be so deceptive and evil, Scripture says, it needs to die to sin and live by faith in Christ. And here's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is a great verse. Look at this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. A person who has true freedom in Christ experiences a change on the inside. There's a dependence on Jesus birthed by the Holy Spirit. Abdication of the reign of sin is necessary. In fact, until a person confesses sin and admits the need for God's grace and mercy, there is no change of heart. There is no real lasting freedom from sin. Now here's what Paul Tripp, pastor and author, says about bringing true change in a person's heart. Quote, "So what we need most is not a change of locations or relationship, but a fundamental rescue of the heart. And that is exactly what God's grace in the person of the Holy Spirit provides for us." End quote. That's freedom which is grounded in Christ. That's the fruit of gospel hope. Here's one last scripture I want to share with you, which reiterates what freedom in Christ is all about. Take a look at this. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." And so in closing, here is something for us to think about. In a culture that is so adamant about individual freedoms and rights, to what or to whom do we ultimately depend upon for freedom? If freedom isn't in Christ alone, then we have no freedom at all. Not from sin, not from death, not from anything. Only in Christ alone. And you know, the reality of living in a sin-filled, broken world is this, that we'll continue passing judgment, often in condemnation, on those who don't do what we think they should do. We'll continue to disqualify others because they don't follow certain rules and regulations. And we'll continue in imposing on others and ourselves an if only we would try harder attitude. None of that matters. Freedom in Christ, wrought by the Holy Spirit, is what matters. Because it's the fruit of gospel hope. It's totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters. Nothing more and nothing less. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we have heard your word, it's like you say, God, it's like a two-edged sword that cuts to the very bone and marrow of who we are and reveals the thoughts and intentions of the heart, which can be so much a roadblock, a hindrance to brothers and sisters in Christ, to others outside these walls, that we need to share the gospel, to build up, to allow this freedom in Christ to be seen and not suppressed. Father God, would you do a great work through your Spirit to mold us and shape us in this freedom which we have in Christ. And then share the excellencies of your name with others so that they too would come into the marvelous light of salvation. Freedom in Christ alone is what matters. Thank you, God, for showing us that today. May your name be praised, Lord Jesus. Amen.